Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, hello North Point, and welcome. Welcome to March 2021. I'm telling you, man, this year is just moving right along. Here we are, March 2021, in our year of application, here at North Point. And remember, an application, what we're talking about is the action of putting something into operation. That's why we said this is our year of application, because there are some things that we need to be putting into our life, some things we need to be putting into action. Why? Because here at North Point, we have a mission, and that mission is creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. And if we are going to fulfill the mission, we've got to build the habits. And that's why we are talking about our house habits right now. If you are familiar with our community here in North Point, we have 12 house habits. We are working our way right now through those house habits. And last week we talked about we protect unity, the habit of we protect unity. And this week we're going to talk about the link between this habit and our next habit. We could even say this week we're going to build a bridge. We're going to build a bridge from we protect unity to we honor consistently. We're going to tie these together, and today we're going to be talking about both of these through a particular lens, and that lens is God, yourself, and others. So with this bridge that we're building, we're going to do it through the lens or through the scope of God, yourself, and others. And, you know, just like I said, last week we talked about we protect unity. And let me just remind you of one of the things that we said. We said this: if you aren't actively protecting unity, then you are passively permitting disunity. If you're not actively protecting unity, then you are passively permitting disunity. Why? Because unity takes work. So if you aren't working for it, then you eventually won't have it. If you're not working for it, you eventually won't have it. And so as we take that concept of we protect unity, if we take that principle and we put it through the lens of God, yourself, and others, let's dive into this today. The first thing we have to do is we have to protect unity with God. We protect unity with God. The Bible says this in John 15:5. Yes, I am the vine. Jesus is talking here. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce. Come on, say that right now. Say will. They will produce. You remain in me, Jesus remaining in you, they will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Which brings us to the question. How do we know if we are remaining in Christ? Which is what Jesus said. He says, if you will remain in me and I will remain in you, then you will produce. How do we know if we are really remaining in Christ? Here's a quick way for us to figure that out. And it is this: do you remain the same? Do you remain the same? If you remain the same year after year, month after month, if you remain the same, then you're probably not remaining in Christ, because when you remain in Christ, you will produce much fruit. What does that fruit look like? That fruit looks like love. That fruit looks like joy. It looks like the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. It looks like peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. That's what it looks like. So if we remain the same, then the chances are we are not remaining in Christ. And when we talk about remaining in Christ, we're not just talking about believing in Christ. You have to know these are two different things. Remaining connected to Jesus and believing in Jesus are two very different things. One is active, remaining in Christ, connecting with Christ. That is active every single day. Believing in Christ, putting your belief in Him is one thing, but connecting with Him on a daily basis is something else. And so if we say, okay, well, how do I know if I'm remaining in Christ? What does that mean? What am I doing? Are we reading our Bible? Have we committed to a time of prayer in our day? Are we regularly worshiping him in moments of song, in moments of thanksgiving? Are we attending church, whether we are attending in person or online? Are we gathering together as a group of believers? Are we in a group? Are we connecting with other believers on a regular basis? You see, we have to protect our unity with God. And if we're not actively protecting that, then we are passively permitting disunity with God. So what hinders unity with God? What hinders unity with God? Two things I want to share with you: disobedience and distraction. Cool. For all of my note takers right now, all of my note takers, you need to be writing this down. What hinders unity with God? Disobedience and distraction. When we're talking about disobedience, we are talking about willful and habitual sin. I willfully sin. It's not just making a mistake. It is a willful and habitual sin. What is the answer to that? The answer for willful and habitual sin, the answer for disobedience is repentance and repetition. I repent. That literally means I have a conversation with God. I say, God, I'm sorry for the way that I've been, and I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to change my mind. But not only am I going to change my mind, the repetition is I'm going to change my pattern. I'm going to change my action. I'm going to get out of that disobedience. And then we also have distraction. We face distraction when we just get busy. We face distraction when we get lazy. It's just being distracted by something different. But there is distraction. What's the answer for distraction? The answer for distraction is to prioritize and schedule. You've got to put things in priority, and then you've got to get the things that are important to you on your schedule. So if following Jesus is important to you, if committing your life and your way to him is important to you, then we've got to make sure that these things are getting onto our calendar, getting onto our schedule. Bible reading, prayer, church, joining a group, getting connected. These things are vitally important, and we have to protect our unity with God. But not just do we protect our unity with God, we also have to protect unity with ourselves. We protect unity with ourselves. Let me explain what I mean. You can't hate yourself and flourish in the abundant life. You cannot hate who you are and fulfill the purpose that God has placed on your life. Shame, guilt, and condemnation. These are things that cause you to fight against yourself, not to fight for yourself. These are things that cause you to fight against your future, not fight for your future. You see, you don't have to be perfect to have unity within yourself. I would like to say it this way: perfection is our strive, but progression is our stride. Perfection is our strive. That's what we are striving for. Perfection is our strive, but progression is our stride. We walk forward in progress. We are protecting that unity with ourselves. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So now there is no condemnation. Come on, wait, say no. There is no. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Do you belong to Jesus? Have you put your faith, hope, and trust in him? Then the scripture says, there is no condemnation. There is no shame that you should still be carrying. There is no condemnation. There is no guilt for you. Jesus has paid the price for it all. Now, I want you to see this. I cannot fight my good fight if I am beating myself up every day. I cannot run the race that God created me to run when I am running all over myself every single day. You see, I have to understand that I've got to protect the unity with myself. So then it brings up the question, what hinders unity with ourselves? What hinders unity with ourselves? Two things: lies and lids. Lies and lids. The first thing that's going to hinder unity with yourself is a lie. The lie that we believe that my past defines my potential, that my past determines my future. You see, that's a lie. That's a lie to keep you from living the life that God created you to live. That is a lie to cause internal despair, internal hopelessness, internal defeat. That is a lie. But not only do we have these lies, we also have these lids. We have these limiting beliefs about our identity and about our possibility. And these things become lids in our lives about who I am and what I am capable of. And that lid sits on my life. You see, this will create disunity within ourselves. What is the answer for the lie? And what is the answer for the lid? It is the truth of the Word of God. The truth of the Word of God that says you are more than a conqueror. The truth of the Word of God that says if God is for you, who can be against you? It is the truth of the Word of God that all things are possible to those that believe. It is the truth of the Word of God that the power of Christ, the power that raised Christ from the dead, is living and dwelling on the inside of you right now. That you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. That is the truth of God's Word. That is the promise that God has for you. And so how do we defeat the lie and the lid when we remind ourselves who God says that we are and what is possible in our lives? But see, we have to protect unity with ourselves. Because if we're not careful, we begin to believe those lies. If we're not careful, we let the lids stay on our lives. We got to protect the unity with ourselves. And then the next thing is this: we have to protect unity with others. We protect unity with God. We protect unity within ourselves, and then we have to actively protect unity with others. I know you know this to be true. It's a whole lot easier to talk about people than it is to go talk to people. It's a whole lot easier to talk about someone than it is to go to someone and talk about that issue. But I want to remind you a scripture that we looked at last week, and that is in John 17. And Jesus is praying. This is the longest recorded prayer that we have. Jesus is talking to the Father, and this is what he says in verse 22. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. Think about that connection that Jesus and the Father had. Think about the closeness, the intimacy. Think about that. And then Jesus prayed. And he said, Father, make them one as me and you are one. He would go on in the next verse and he would pray, God, give them perfect unity. Give them perfect unity. Make them one as we are one. You see, protecting, it isn't always about a spontaneous response, but it can also be about a prepared action plan. I mean, just think about this. Like, if you have an animal and that animal becomes under attack from another animal, you can get involved in that spontaneously and you can jump in there and you can fight that animal away. And that's one way to protect your animal. But there's another way to protect your animal, and that's just to build a fence around your yard. That's a prepared action plan, just to build the fence. Now, there are going to be moments where we have to respond spontaneously. We have to have moments of courage. In the moment, we have to protect unity. But there are other things that we need to build into our lives, standards and habits that we need to build into our lives that will help us promote and protect unity. So what hinders unity with others? What hinders unity? We've talked about what hinders unity with God. That's disobedience and distraction. We talked about what hinders our unity with ourselves. We talked about that's the lies and the lids. But what hinders unity with others? And it's gossip and greed. Gossip and greed. Gossip is whenever you talk about someone else. And I would say not just when you talk about someone else, but whenever you are okay with letting somebody else talk to you about someone else. That is what gossip is. And the answer for that is, until you can say something positive, say nothing. If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. We learned that as children. People taught us that. But if you can't say something positive, don't say anything at all. That is the answer. And if something positive is not being said about somebody else, then we should not be listening to that. We should not be entertaining that. We should not be okay with that. Why? Because we are protecting unity. And gossip will hinder unity, but not only will gossip hinder unity, greed will hinder unity. See, how does that happen? Greed is making life all about you, making life all about your happiness, all about your wants, all about your desires, all about your pleasure. That's what greed will do to you. What is the answer for greed? The answer is to see others and serve others out of love and compassion. That's what we want to do. We want to see others and we want to serve others. And do you know what will help us in this pursuit of unity? If we're going to protect unity with God, if we're going to protect unity with ourselves, if we're going to protect unity with others, do you know something that will help you protect unity? It's honor. Honor will help you protect unity, and here is the reason why. You won't protect what you don't honor. You will not protect what you don't honor. And that's why we put these two habits right next to each other, because they're linked. There's a bridge. We protect unity and we honor consistently, because if you want to protect unity with God, you want to protect unity with others, you want to protect unity with yourself, then you have to honor God, you have to honor yourself, and you have to honor others. So let's just look at that for a moment. What will help you protect unity with God? When you honor God consistently with your time, talk, talent, and treasure. You see, we don't just honor God with our words. We do honor God with our words, obviously with worship and with gratitude and with trust and prayer, but we also honor God with our calendar. We honor God with our effort. We honor God with our finances. Look at the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth. Proverbs 14, 31 says, whoever is kind to the needy honors God. Psalm 50, 23 says, but giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. You see, what will help you protect unity with God is honoring God in all of these areas of your life. Honoring God with your finances, honoring God with your time, honoring God with kindness and serving, honoring God with giving thanks every day. Honoring God will help you protect your unity with God. What will help you protect unity with yourself? What'll help you protect unity with yourself? When you honor yourself consistently with proper beliefs and identity. See, honoring yourself is more about talking to yourself than it is talking about yourself. Now, if you ever hear people talking about themselves, so many times when people talk about themselves, what do? They talk negatively about themselves. They talk about their flaws, they talk about their faults, they talk about which they wish they could change, they talk about the things that they hate about themselves. That's what they talk about. And so if we are going to honor ourselves, what we are going to do is we are going to talk to ourselves and not just about ourselves. We're going to honor ourselves by getting in agreement with the Word of God. We are going to honor ourselves by declaring the Word of God over our lives. Let's just take a look just for a moment. In Romans chapter 8, this is what the Bible says. As we read a moment ago, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It says that we are more than conquerors through Christ. It says that nothing shall separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That is just all found in Romans chapter 8 and so much more. What is that letting us know? It's letting us know that we have to honor ourselves, not push ourselves down, not talk about all the bad things about us, but man, that God loves us, that His Spirit is on the inside of us. He made us more than conquerors. There is no shame, no guilt, no condemnation inside of us. How about Philippians chapter 4? When the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Philippians, and he says, don't be anxious about anything, but instead pray about everything. He says, then the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. He goes on a few more verses in verse 13 of chapter 4, and he says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You see, this is what is happening. I have got to protect that unity with myself by honoring myself, by getting in agreement with the Word of God and saying, I have the strength of Christ. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to live in anxiety. No, I'm going to pray and I'm going to let the peace of God dwell in my heart and in my mind. You see, this is how we live in unity with ourselves, is we have to honor ourselves. And not only that, you also need to honor yourself by believing the best is yet to come for you. Not just the best is yet to come for the church of Jesus Christ, not just the best is yet to come for your pastors, the best is yet to come for your next door neighbor. No, the best is yet to come for you. You have to honor yourself by getting in agreement with the Word of God. And lastly today, what will help you protect unity with others? What will help you protect unity with others? It's when you honor others with genuine, positive words and actions. When you honor others with genuine, positive words and actions. And you need to remember this. We don't honor others simply because of who they are. We honor others because of who we are. I don't honor you based on your character. I honor you based on my character. I don't honor you because you are honorable. I honor you because I am honorable. I honor you because the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, honor everyone. Come on, say everyone. Everyone. You know, it doesn't matter if you're reading this in the Greek. It doesn't matter if you're reading this in Spanish. It doesn't matter if you're reading this in French. It doesn't matter what language of the world, what translation. Everyone means everyone. Honor everyone. Now, the Apostle Paul takes it a step further in Romans chapter 12, and he says this, take delight in honoring each other. Not just that you should honor everyone, but he says you should take delight. You should work hard to outdo in honoring others. You should elevate others. You really should take delight and find pleasure in honoring other people. See, honor is a choice. And since honor is a choice, I can always choose to honor. Honor is a choice. And since honor is a choice, I can always choose to honor. And when I choose to honor others, what I'm choosing is to promote and protect unity with others. That's just the way it works. If I want to protect unity with God, if I want to protect unity with myself, and not live in shambles and divided on the inside. If I want to protect unity with other people, then I have to honor God. I have to honor myself as the creation of God, filled with His Spirit, and I have to honor others. And that means everyone. See, we're closing up all of our Sunday messages this year with an acrostic for LEAD. And that lead acrostic, it really comes out of this year of application. It comes out of this journey that we're on to lead ourselves well. And as we are leading ourselves well, we've got to make sure that we're learning, we're evaluating, we're applying, and then we're simply doing it again. That's what that lead acrostic looks like. And so today, as we wrap up our message, we want to say, what is our takeaway today? What is the one thing that we're taking away? What did we learn today? And it is simply this: you will not protect what you do not honor. You will not protect what you do not honor. You will not protect others if you don't honor others. You will not protect yourself if you don't honor yourself. You will not protect that unity with God if you do not truly honor God. You see, we must honor it if we are going to protect it. So it takes us to our evaluation. Our evaluation is this: which one is the most difficult for you to honor? Is it God? Is it yourself? Or is it others? Is it the most difficult for you to honor God with your time, with your talent, with your talk, with your treasure? Is it difficult for you on a daily basis to honor God, to recognize God, to bring God into your life, to please God in the way that you are living, in the purity of heart and motives? Is it hard for you to honor God? Or maybe it's hard for you to honor yourself. Maybe it's hard. Maybe your struggle is that you let your past set the cap on your future. This is the way that it's always been. This is the way that it will always be. I have never been able to in the past, therefore I will never be able to in the future. Maybe today it is yourself. Or maybe today it's the most difficult for you to honor others. Maybe it's difficult for you to honor people who disagree with you. Maybe it's difficult for you to honor others who don't look like you. Maybe it's difficult for you to honor others who have different political viewpoints than you have. Maybe it's hard for you to honor others who have a different religion or faith background than you. Maybe it's hard for you to honor your neighbor. Maybe that's difficult. Which one is the most difficult for you? Honoring God, honoring yourself, or honoring others? That's our evaluation. And then our application is simple. Do one thing to add honor in that area. This week, do one thing to add honor in that area. If it's saying, man, it's hard for me to honor God, why don't you just wake up every morning and in your morning routine, while you're taking a shower, while you're shaving your face, while you're fixing your hair, you can tell I don't have that problem. If you're, whatever you're doing, just take a moment and say, God, thank you for this day. I honor you as the creator. God, fill me today with hope. Fill me today with your peace. You just take that moment, honor God. Maybe it's honoring yourself. Maybe what you need to do in that moment is you need to have a moment of just declaration, of declaring who God says that you are, not who you've said you are your whole life. Not who other people have said that you are your whole life, but beginning to declare the truth of God's word over your life, that you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God, that you are filled with the resurrection power of the living Christ, that you are more than a conqueror, that all things are possible, that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You begin to declare the truth of God's word over your life. Add honor to yourself, or maybe you need to add honor to others. Find somebody that you normally look past and see them. And don't just see them, speak to them. See them and serve them. See them, and as Jesus was, moved by compassion. Be moved by compassion, honoring them. You see, if we do not honor God, honor ourselves, and honor others, then we cannot promote and protect unity that's necessary to take us to the place that Jesus wanted us to go, and that is, Father, make them one. Why did he want us to be one? He wanted us to be one so that the world might see and take note. And then what do? The D is simply do it again. Do it again, do it again, do it again, do it again. Practice honoring and practice protecting that unity. Will you pray with me today? Father, thank you for the truth of your word. God, thank you for everything that you are. Thank you for all that you have done. God, thank you that we have this mission of creating a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. God, thank you for what you are doing in our church. Thank you for what you're doing in families. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and in our minds. And God, right now in this moment, we just declare we need you. We need you. God, we honor you right now. We honor you as Savior. We honor you as Lord. God, right now in this moment, we choose to honor ourselves. God, we honor that we are your creation. We are your craftsmanship. God, you made us for a purpose and you filled us with your spirit. God, today we choose to honor others. God, we want to honor the people that you have put around us. We want to honor our neighbor. We want to honor our coworker. We want to honor those that we disagree with. We want to honor the people, not based on who they are, but based on who you have called us to be, that we would honor everyone. And God, by living a life of honor, we will live a life that promotes and protects unity. God, what we know is so close, near, and dear to your heart. God, that's what we want. We want to honor consistently, and we want to protect unity for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, put an amen on that today. Hey, I want you to know this week it's possible. Give some honor this week. Give some honor to God. Give some honor to yourself. Give some honor to others. And let's begin to promote and protect unity the way that God created us to do it. Hey, I cannot wait until next week. Next week, we're going to be diving into our next house habit, which is we lean in. So we are diving in to lean in. It's going to be a great Sunday, and I hope to see you right back here. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.